This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Texas has a special place in the history of rock and roll. It's the home of Tex-Mex, border music that combines the influences of Mexican music and rock and roll. And several of the finest Tex-Mex players have united in an all-star band called the Texas Tornadoes. They're touring this summer. The band features Doug Somm on piano and vocals, Freddie Fender on vocals and guitar, Flaco Jimenez on accordion, and Augie Myers on organ and accordion. Two of the Texas Tornadoes are my guests. Augie Myers' rhythmic, pumping organ style has influenced many other rockers. We'll meet him later in the show. First, a talk with Freddie Fender. He's best known for his country hits of the mid-70s, Wasted Days and Wasted Nights, and Before the Next Teardrop Falls. Fender is a Chicano, and in the 1950s he had many regional hits, several of which were recorded in Spanish. From the Texas Tornadoes album, this is Freddie Fender, singing a song he co-wrote called A Man Can Cry.
A man can cry. A love can surely die. They're not here to stay. The sunshine and the rain. Let me, oh, oh, let me tell you, baby, I'm still in love with you. The towering mountain high is to prove my love. All this love have I. But let me, oh, oh, let me tell you, baby, I'm still in love with you.
Freddie Fender singing with the new Texas Tornadoes from their new album. It seems to me you really like to sing ballads the best, and I find that interesting since your early stuff was really heavy on the rhythm and blues. Has there been a musical change, or is that just what you think sells best?
See, there's some songs that we're doing now that are ballads, but they have a lot of oomph in
right.
it, a lot of rock in the ballads. I like a ballad with a lot of triplet piano behind me and a strong drummer, a strong bass, and really good fill-in with the guitars, you know? So that's what I like. I like a slow rhythm of blues with a lot of rock background on it.
How did you start performing?
I started performing in the radio stations. We had a little station called KGBS in Harlingen, San Benito, Texas. And we happened to know the DJ. This was 1946, 47. I was 9 or 10 years old. And I'd go over there with a guitar, and it was a big kick for him to see a little kid with a guitar singing.
I know that one of the records you made in the 1950s was a cover recording in Spanish of Elvis Presley's Don't Be Cruel. Whose idea was it to do that in Spanish? Was it your idea to do that?
In a way, I think that I gave the idea to the producer of the session that I did. I was Don't Be Cruel in Spanish. And some other songs, the Elvis Presley hits, because at that time, we did not have Elvis Presley imitators. Everybody wanted to imitate Elvis Presley, whether you sang or not.
Was your image the Hispanic Elvis at the time?
Very much so. I was called a bebop kid and the Mexican Elvis Presley, believe it or not.
When did you change your name from Baldomar Huerta to Freddie Fender? Why did you change it?
Well, Wayne Duncan, who became my first manager, had a jukebox route. That's about as close as he was to the record business. And he said, I'm going to record you, and you're going to have to get a name where you can look at the jukebox, you'll put a nickel in it. And in other words, not Baldomar Huerta, you know? So I said, well, let me pick a name. So I picked Fender from the guitar and the amplifier, and Freddie just out of the air. Luckily, if you put a Y on Freddie instead of an IE, you will have the same amount of letters on it, which helps a lot when you print it on an album or something. You know, it comes out just right.
Let's go back to 1959 and your recording of Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. Now, you later recorded this in the mid-70s, and it was a big hit. But this is your first recording of it back in 1959.
Wasted days and wasted nights. I have left for you behind. For you don't belong to me. Your heart belongs. Why should I keep loving you when I know that you're not true?
Freddie Fender recorded in 1959. Not too long after this record was made, you were busted at a club for what, holding three joints?
I wasn't holding anything, no.
Oh, okay. Well, what was the story?
They found it in the apartment where I lived. They found some, maybe a couple of joints or something like that, and that was the end of that one, you know.
How long did you spend in prison for that?
2.5 years.
Were you able to keep playing while you were in prison, playing music?
Oh, yes, yeah. I kept up with my guitar and played music.
Is it right that you were paroled under the condition that you didn't get back into music?
Not really. I was paroled on the condition that I wouldn't be anywhere where they serve liquor and anywhere they play music except for church. Even in church, they serve wine. So I might as well, you know, just seal it up.
I see. So it wasn't that the judge... It wasn't so much that you weren't supposed to play music. It was that you weren't supposed to be around alcohol.
Yeah.
But what effect did that have on your music career?
I still went ahead and played and got away pretty good, you know.
Where'd you play, though, if you couldn't play at places that served alcohol?
Usually beer joints that didn't advertise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I wouldn't play any public places. I'd just go to beer joints, little hell holes, you know, and nobody would know about it except the people that went there every day.
Well, that's not the best way to get discovered, is it?
No, you know, I was young. I wasn't really thinking that much about discovery. As a matter of fact, my whole life, I have never expected anything, you know. I've just played music, that's all, you know. And if it happens, it happens. If it don't happen, well, hell, I'm still playing, you know. I was shooting for success and waiting for failure without being afraid of failure. Now I fear failure just tremendously. I've gone to the other side now, you know. If I fail, man, I'm going to be real hurt because I know what success is now, and I want it,
mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, in the mid-70s, you had a lot of success with several hits that were especially big on the country charts. I'm thinking of Before the Next Teardrop Falls and your re-recording of Wasted Days and Wasted Nights. You made these records with Huey P. Moe producing you. How did the two of you team up?
Huey who? Never heard of him, Terry. We did some.
Are you on the outs now or something with him?
Yes, and I really don't like to talk to him, you know, with all due respect. Let's put it like this. I pray for him every night. Okay?
Okay, we can
look at business, that. Bad business transactions, okay? And it just bothers me.
Oh, okay.
Yep. God bless him.
Your songs, I think, were especially big in country music. How did you end up crossing over into country?
It was a project that came from that person we were talking about. From Number 5. Number 5 said, Freddie, I got a song for you, and we're going to record it. I want you to record it. I said, I don't want to record it. I don't record country music. I'm a rhythm and blues guy, and I'm not going to do it. And he said, well, look, we were recording an R&B album. You're not going to get back to the R&B album you're doing until you finish this. And they played it for me, and I learned the words. And in 20 minutes, I had put it down in English and Spanish, and it was the original. It didn't have the accordion at that time. The music was there already. They just added the accordion later on, and that was, I think it's all about 3 million.
Was it hard in any way to get accepted in country music? Are there ways that you always felt like an outsider?
I think that before they knew what was going on, my song was number 1, it was too late. They had, I don't think they had a choice on whether they should accept me into their society or not. And before they knew it, my song was number one, not only in country, but in pop. And then after that, you know, well, you know, for better or for worse, they all know Freddie Fender now.
I've been speaking with Freddie Fender, and he's one of the members of the new group Texas Tornadoes, along with Doug Sam and Flaco Jimenez. And Augie Myers, who's featured on both accordion and organ on this new album, is with me as well. And I'll be speaking with him after we take a short break. This is Fresh Air. With me now is Augie Myers, and he's featured on the new Texas Tornadoes album. And Augie Myers for years played organ with the Sir Douglas Quintet, and he plays organ and accordion on the new album. And just to give you a sense of this terrific organ playing, let's listen to What Were You Thinking Of from the new Texas Tornadoes album. My guest, Augie Myers, featured on both accordion and organ on that recording. You overdubbing on that?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to. you really use organ as a rhythm instrument. I was wondering how you started playing organ that way.
I don't, my main instrument, I guess, years ago was piano, and that was the first Vox organ that was ever in America I bought in 1962. And I didn't like the way it sounded trying to play solos on it, so I just started playing rhythm on it, just used it as a rhythm instrument.
I think a lot of people picked up on that. Who, did you have anybody to pick up on? I mean, had you heard organ played that way before?
No, nowhere. I listened to, I guess my piano players way back then was Moon Mulligan and then Ray Charles. A lot of people don't know Ray Charles played with Guitar Slim. He was called R.C. Richardson way back then. And he mostly played a lot of shuffle stuff, and it was mostly rhythm. Piano was mainly used as a rhythm instrument way back in the blues era. And that's what I mainly play is rhythm.
I'm trying to remember what year 96 Tears was made, because that also had great organ as rhythm.
Well, those people used to sit back and listen to me.
Oh, okay, yeah, so you influenced the people who made that record.
They listened to us play and asked me. I programmed the 96 Tears organ thing for them, how to get the tone that they wanted on the record.
Oh, really? You play Vox and Hammond B3 on the new record.
Right.
What's the difference between the two? And what you can get out of it?
Oh, a lot. I mean, no, a Hammond B3 is, it's like a milkshake, with whipped cream and ice cream. And a Vox organ is just a glass of water, but a good glass of water. So there's a lot of difference between that. I mean, you got more sounds out of the Hammond organ for rhythm and blues and jazz and stuff, where Vox was mainly used for a lot of the English stuff.
This is one of those little organs that kind of stand up?
Right.
Like a small keyboard.
Right.
So you were the first person in the States to have a Vox organ?
Right.
How did you become the first person to do that?
I used to prescribe to a lot of English magazines back in the early 60s just to check up and see what's going on. And I remember it was $285, and a man, God bless him, he's gone now, but he owned a music store in San Antonio named Mr. Woods. He helped me get it. It was $285. Then after the Beatles and the Stones and Dave Clark 5 and everybody came out, they ran up to like $1,500. I still have my original one. I've got four of them. And if anybody out there has got one want to sell it, please let me know. I like to buy them all.
Oh, really? So did this make you in demand, having this new sound and new instrument?
For a fact, yes, it did. I remember when me and Doug first went to England, and in the 60s, George Harrison and Lennon, John Lennon, called a hotel and wanted me to come to the studio because they wanted to see how they had a Vox organ, but they couldn't get the sound that I had out of mine. They couldn't get their sound out of theirs. But it was only due to the amplification. They didn't have reverb in their amplifiers back then. The reverb was a new thing that came out.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know you had polio as a child.
Yeah, till from when I was 2 years old till I was almost 10, I had polio. I couldn't walk.
So you didn't start walking until you were around 10?
Until I was about 10. So I lived with my grandparents, and when they used to go out in the field every day and pick cotton, they took me over to this black lady's house, and her husband picked cotton for my grandfolks, and they had a piano, and he played in their church, in the black church. But they used to set me up on a piano just to pacify my time away all day, and that's what I did because there was no TV back then. They didn't have radio or electricity in the house.
Were your hands and fingers strong enough to play?
Well, my right one was. My left one was a little affected by the polio, but my grandfather, I owe it all to him. He made me walk again, plus the good Lord, you know. But my grandfather, he did his home remedies on me.
So do you think learning to play when one hand was still weak affected the way you ended up playing, you know, the style that you ended up having?
Well, I think so because I do a lot of rhythm on my right hand, and my left hand just kind of hits you know, the dominant chord on there. I still have problem. I do therapy. I play. That's why I bought my accordion for therapy and for my hands and my fingers, and I learned to play guitar that way too.
Did you get full strength back in your hands?
Well, put it this way, I appreciate what I got. If I got it, if I had any more, I don't know what I'd do with it.
One of the like great rock and roll stories was how when you were produced by Uwe Moe, how he wanted to pass you off as a British invasion group.
Who?
Yeah, do you feel that way also? Are you into the Who?
No. Freddie just looked at me and said Who. I just said Who.
Okay.
Huey wanted to pass, but I mean it was really hard because there was two gringos in the. Three Mexicans in a band, you know, and trying to get these Spanish dudes to sit there and try to, you know, I like a spot of tea, you know, and try to talk English when they'd sit there and say, hey, what the, man, what time is it, man? Let's go get a beer, you know. And that was their kind of accent, you know, so trying to be English. It pulled it off till Trini Lopez on, I think it was Holla Blue, said, man, they're from Texas, you know.
Augie Myers is my guest, and he plays organ and accordion on the new Texas Tornadoes album. Well, what is your ethnic group? What's your ethnic background?
Gemini.
So am I.
Freddie Gemini too. No, what do you mean my ethnic background?
You know? Well, I'm thinking, you know, you're you know a gringo playing a lot of, you know, Tex-Mex Mexican inspired music. So I wasn't sure what your ethnic background is.
I'm a German and Polish.
German and Polish. Okay.
Yes.
So you probably heard the music of a lot of. Different ethnic groups growing up in Texas.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, why don't I play something that's kind of half Spanish? This is a song that you wrote called Hey Baby, ¿Qué Pasó? Do you want to say anything about the song and about...
Well, I mean, I wanted to write something that was, you know, at one point nobody would play my records back home because I either had the country station wouldn't play it, it had horns on it. The rock station wouldn't play it because I had a fiddle or steel. The Spanish station wouldn't play it because there was no Spanish in it. So I just did the Que Paso, you know, to half English, half Spanish, put a little accordion in it. Actually, I wrote that song about one of my girlfriends running off with my best friends.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I miss him, too, because we used to go out and shoot pool and drink beer.
Well, this is the version of it from the new Texas Tornadoes record, and it features Augie Myers on vocals, accordion, and organ. Freddie Fender is on electric guitar, and here we go.
You can hear him yelling in the background, too.
Okay.
Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? Thought I was your only vato. Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? Please don't leave me this mofo. Come on, baby, turn around. Let me see your pretty blue eyes. Don't you know that I love you? Yes, I'm more. Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? Thought I was your only vato. Hey, baby, ¿qué pasó? Won't you give me un beso?
So Augie Meyer is on organ, accordion, and vocals, and the aforementioned Freddie Fender yelling in the background there. Well, let me ask you both now, Freddie Fender and Augie Meyer. Is this Texas Tornadoes group exposing you to different audiences than you're used to because of the conglomeration of people on it and the way the tours are being booked?
I think it's exposing Freddie to a whole new audience more. Because, I mean, we're playing to the same kind of audiences. Am I right, Freddie? You think so?
Yes. Well, being considered a country artist only for so many years.
Country crooner,
romantic crooner. Now, for the first time, I'm gigging with these guys, and I'm playing guitar. I'm picking some blues and some hot, funky stuff that I hadn't done in years, like I told you. Now, I started out with that kind of music. Then I went into country, and it seemed like I couldn't get out of it because all my bookings were country audiences. But when I got in with the Tornadoes, now I'm getting the bookings. 99.9% of the bookings are bookings that Augie and Doug were doing before, and now I'm doing. But we're playing some real raunchy rock and roll places, man.
Well, I want to thank you both very much talking with us, and I wish you the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.
Augie Myers is the organist with the Texas Tornadoes. Earlier, we heard from Freddie Fender, who sings with the band. The band has a record called Texas Tornadoes. They'll perform in Chicago on July 21st and in Santa Rosa on the 25th. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.